Well, this evening we're back into our teaching again on the ministry of angels, and our foundational scripture that we're using is from Hebrews, the first chapter. There's two verses there, verses 13 and 14 that we're using. And it says, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'?" And he said, "Are they not all ministering spirits," which he's talking about, the angels, "sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation?" And is one of the things we are emphasizing here is in that scripture, it says that are they the spirits that are sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation, not minister to, but for. That makes a huge amount of difference. And we want to look at that as, in other words, if angels are to minister for those who are heirs of salvation, and we look through the scriptures to find out that in our covenant it tells us that ones who are born of God, that they are heirs of salvation. And so as we look at the fact of if we're the heirs of salvation, they're to minister for us. And we went back into the Old Covenant, which we're going to go back again tonight. We're looking back in the beginning of Genesis. There's revelation in the scriptures that is given to us concerning angels. It's really important because when we look at the Old Covenant, there's a lot of things that tells us about angels and what they do. Lots of times from a scriptural standpoint, people don't pay too much attention to these things because, you know, they're more of a spectacular event than it is a revelation to people. And, it's sort of like, you know, I remember as a kid in church and he's sitting there teaching, they'd talk about David and Goliath. And I can't ever remember them telling us why it happened and how it took place and why he was able to do what he did. It was just, you know, he was a nice guy, God anointed him and did it. And till you find out, you know, there's revelation that people need to understand what the story's about. And what's God, because whatever God does do nothing frivolously. God never did one miracle to ever show off. Everything God ever did, it was for a purpose. Everything he does is for a purpose, and everything he tells man to do is for a specific purpose. And we have to understand that. Over the years, you know, I've had people say, well, God had told me to do this, and he just wanted me to do that to see if this or that. And they don't realize God does everything for purpose. And they really had no clue why they were doing and whether God told them to do it or not. They're trying to make sense out of life. And it's one thing is you have to understand God. And this is what God gave us, a book, so we could understand how things in his kingdom operate. In Jesus' ministry, we have all the parables, and the parables all told us what the kingdom, how it operated, what the kingdom's like. They weren't just nice stories to try to explain some nice things. It's the principles, or we would say the laws that the kingdom functioned by. Every kingdom has laws. It's just like you go here on the earth, there's different countries. Countries have laws and rules that you operate within that country that they've established. God's kingdom has rules that are established, and if you disobey those rules, just like even with the natural earth and creation, is much like the kingdom of God. There's rules and regulations how God created this thing to work. And there's different laws that we operate in here that you have to abide by, that if you don't, you can really get into problems, you know, like with gravity. You know, you can get in a lot of trouble. You know, if you mess around the edge of a cliff and you fall off, you're going to find out you can get in a real problem how fast the ground comes up. And it isn't the kill that stops you, that gets you, the drop. It's that sudden stop, you know, at the end. And that's because of gravity. And so you have to understand that there's laws. And so if you can't just go out and operate against them. And this is what many times people are doing. They're operating against laws and rules. Well, God put all these things in about angels is one of the things is telling us how they operate and what they do. And God's kingdom is established in this fact. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. In other words, it requires faith to please God. It's a must. It isn't something if you'd like to have. It is a must. And we stop to say, well, what is faith? Well, in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter in the first verse says that tells us about faith. So he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives us evidence which is you're not able to see. We're teaching about angels, and the Bible talks to us about angels, and it tells us about angels, how they act, what they do. And then and the thing of it is, we can't see them. But it says, see, that's what requires faith. this is why, you know, from the standpoint, science is always has to have to see something to prove it. Unless they come up with one of their theories, then their theories don't have to even make sense as long as it makes sense to them. You know, Kenneth Hagin said a theory is a supposition that's made on the ignorance of the subject in question. And it really is. They make a theory is based on what they don't know. I don't know this, but we figure we know that. And, I mean, there's one thing, is I have 7 years on the earth, and I've watched 99% of theories over the years go out the window. What Mahan said are true. They told us all this, yeah, well, this theory's really good. This is a good one. The next thing you know, well, that one ain't working, so let's come up with another theory. And they go from theory to theory to theory. And it's very interesting. But the Bible shows us things and tells us concerning angels and their operation. And we need to understand this, that angels operate in the kingdom of God. Therefore, if God requires faith, then for angels to be able to minister for us, we must operate in faith concerning angels. See, if you're going to wait till you see an angel that you're going to believe, well, just forget it. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. That isn't how the kingdom. If you're going to, I'm going to believe there's a God because when I see God. Well, that probably never happened. Most people never see God. Well, it's one thing as I found out, faith in a God I couldn't see changed my life. You know, I don't know many people's lives changed a whole lot by walking around by what they see. I mean, look at our country. Look at the mess in our nation. Because 99% of the people run around and live by what they see. Boy, it really changes lives, don't it? Makes great people. You know, <let's, laughs> we have this idea that living by what you see is the great thing. And if there is only in life what you can see, then the people who commit suicide are probably the smart ones. That'd be the most intelligent thing to do. Why would you want to keep living? Why would you want to? This is something that I never understood, is because, you know, they were always trying to save the world, don't have a nuclear war. And, you know, we don't want to all die. You know, we don't want to all die. Yet, most people are pretty godless. Well, in most people's ideas, if you die, you either go to nothing or everybody goes to the big brain in the sky somewhere or somebody goes. Well, if that is really true and they believe it, well, the best thing would all that mankind, this whole thing would end. I mean, why would we want to keep going on like this? Because most people never live what they believe. They never live it. I've never met a true atheist. I've never met one. I've met people who said they were atheists. But I'll tell you what, you pull a gun and put it to their head and see how quick they don't want to die. Well, why wouldn't you want to die? Why would it make any difference if you lived or die? If there's nothing, what does it matter? It's useless. I mean, this whole earth thing is useless if there's no God. It's useless. It's a completely worthless thing. The best thing that would ever happen to humanity was everything would end. All the suffering, pain, everything would be gone and going to nothing, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be it. Well, we know they don't believe that. Because they fight to live. There's no person ever going to stand before God and ever say, I didn't know there was a God. Man is created knowing there's something outside of him. Man knows it. Every person knows it. Because people don't live by that. They don't live by the standard. People might live by the standard. You know, they're on their own and, you know, we'll worry about it down the road somewhere. But I'll tell you what, everybody's going to end up down the road somewhere. We're all going to arrive at the point one day. But we have these angels, and we're talking about the kingdom of God and angels. Now, one of the things I want to just sort of talk about, and didn't really get into very much, we talked about before, but we're not going to go to a whole lot of scripture with it. But one of the things about what angels are, what angels look like, if you read the scriptures, if you sit down and read, in fact, if there's a lot of times, especially, there's two words that are used in the Old Testament that deal with angels, and one of them is the word, you'll find it, you look over in the Hebrew, but the word is translated cherub or cherubim. A cherubim is the plural of cherub. You'll see that word used. And you will find that that term is only used from into Genesis, I think, to Ezekiel. You'll find that term used now and then, but also the word angel is used. And there's also, now the word angel is used Old Testament and New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for angel is the same as the Greek word that is used, they both mean the same. It is the term messenger. Now that term, you have to translate it whether it's a human or it's an angel from God by the context that it's written in. So you have to see whether or not of whatever's taking place is something angelic or whether a human's doing it. So you'll see the word messenger many times. That word's used. Well, it's also in the Old Testament. They do the same thing with the Hebrew word. Now, when we talk about angel, it's interesting just to say this. We have these ideas about angels and what angels look like. Most of us, we got these from the time that we were children and whatever paintings and things you saw. And 99.9% of them are not accurate at all. They are man's ideas. They are not biblical. The pictures aren't biblical. I very seldom have ever seen a biblical picture of an angel, of what we have said in the scriptures. We don't even see it. The winged angel is not like the Bible says that a winged angel is. You've never seen, probably never seen one. Did you know that in the Bible tells us, like that it talks about a cherub or a cherubim, talks about those angels. It talks about because there's different types of those angels. There's some of them that have no wings. There's some of them that have two wings. There's some of them that have four wings. There's some that have two wings and two faces. There's some that have four wings and four faces. Just like they are in all the pictures, you know, that were painted back in the Renaissance, back there when nobody even knew God. And they were just doing their own thing. And everybody today, Christianity's bought all this stuff. And it's interesting when you talk about these, you know, these things, these cherubim. Because, like, you know, we have always, like, any picture that you would see of the Garden of Eden when men are put out, they always show a winged angel standing there. That. Do you know that there was more, that there had to be more than one? Because the word says that God placed cherubim. So there was, we don't know how many. It could have been 100 or 1,000 angels. We don't know. But there wasn't just one angel put there with a sword. The Bible doesn't even say the angel had a sword. It talks about God placed a sword there that moved in every direction. It didn't say the angels had a sword. But, you know, see, people get their own ideas, and we read things, and we get in our, you know, we saw this or saw that, and we think, well, this is it. You need to understand this. You need to learn to read the Bible for yourself and not the way you were taught. Actually look at words. You got to learn. You got to train yourself to do that. Most everybody has been religiously brainwashed, and they read the Bible like they were brainwashed, like they were taught. Somebody said, but nobody took the time to ever find out. The thing that surprised me the most is when I became a Christian, and because I was born in a very religious home, we were told all these things. I'll never forget when I started reading the Bible and studying it for myself. I just couldn't believe all the things that I was told. Loads of it wasn't even in the Bible. But we were told it was the Bible. You know, that God said this or God said that. And I searched and searched and God can't find. And I would go to them and ask them. And they'd say, well, we know what's in there. Well, where is it? Well, we know what's in there. We know it's there. We know. Yep, it's there. Just find out for yourself. If it's there, see about it. But we have all these different types of angels. So what angels look like, angels can also, many times we have from Scripture in the Old Testament, angels appeared and people didn't even know that they thought it was a man. They thought it was a person. And didn't even know till later that they were talking to an angel. So how angels appear and the idea that people have about them, I think most people, I mean, there's a cherubim that are around the throne of God that worship, that are around the throne of God that the Bible tells us about. The ones that have four wings and four faces, those guys are around the throne and they have four faces and eyes completely all around their head, it says. They have eyes. They look in every direction. So see, but understand, we look and say, well, why God create something like that? There's one thing, as I know, God creates everything with a purpose. It has a purpose for it of what it does. And, you know, it's the fact of why God, I just figure God's smarter than we are, and He knows what He needs and wants and what they're for. And there are also things that in the Spirit represent things, and you have to learn and understand, study to find out about some of the things. If you pay any attention to the Scripture, you can find out why some things are like they are. When God had man, when brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and He built the tabernacle, it tells us that the tabernacle was types and shadows of what was already in heaven. In other words, the things were made as replicas of what already existed. This realm we live in, this is why you'll find out there's much similarity between this realm and the heavenly realm. Now, this side is known perfection, so that really makes it hugely different from that standpoint. This side's not perfect. There's no perfection here. But there's many of the things that are created that are likenesses, and how they operate here, they operate over there, because they're founded on eternal principles. Because Jesus, when Jesus taught, he told people how things operate. He used of things how seeds grow in the earth, and he taught man how, through that, how principles of the kingdom operate. Is the same as we plant seeds and seeds grow up. He said, well, the kingdom of God is in the same manner. So we could find out the laws and rules. They follow after the patterns here. Everything here produces after its kind. It came from the realm of the Spirit. Everything produces after its kind. That's what it does. It produces after its kind. That's a spiritual principle. That's the way the kingdom operates. And so, if you learn about these laws, you learn why things. That's why, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, and he told the Christians that, you know, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. He said, you're going to reap whatever you sow. That is a spiritual principle. And when we understand these things, of how they work, that these principles fall in line. Now, we had looked last week, I had read from a scripture in which I want to go back to again. In Genesis, the 48th chapter, I had read there, because we talked about Jacob, and we're going to look at Jacob tonight, because it's important. You might find out something interesting about Scripture, because we have what they call the patriarchs. If you'll notice, that you'll see sometimes that term used if you read things and that stuff about any study books of the Bible, that they use. There's the patriarch, which Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're the patriarchs. And they're the ones really that God established, and really from Israel and everything. But we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is one thing that's very interesting. We have a long storyline in the book of Genesis about Abraham. And we have a long storyline about Jacob. And we have a very short storyline about Isaac. And now, this is my personal belief. I believe there's a big reason for that. Because Isaac didn't walk as good as he should have. But we find Abraham, Isaac to me was like the spoiled kid. He got everything given to him. And he turned out like a kid who got everything given to him. And it's always interesting about Isaac. Isaac is a guy who thought he was dying. This is, you know, you need to sit and understand this. If you sit down and read the story, Isaac thinks he's dying. So he calls his son, his eldest son, who's a heathen, who you don't want to turn anything over to, because, and he's going to give this kid the birthright, which means this would have been the end of the storyline, for there would have been no Israel. All because he liked wild game. He was going to give this kid the birthright. And this kid had sold his birthright, gave his birthright away for food to his younger brother. Well, I've always liked it, because I've heard so many preachers, they talk about, like, Jacob was some kind of bad guy. He stole his brother's birthright. He didn't steal the birthright. It was his. Would God have anointed Jacob and he wasn't supposed to have it? See, this anointing went with the birthright. That's given by God. Man can't give somebody an anointing. Only God can anoint people. So God went with Jacob, and which I would have went with Jacob. Jacob's one of my favorite subjects in the Bible. I like Jacob because Jacob wants something, and he's willing to step on you to go get it if you're going to stand in his way. He is a guy who's after God no matter what. He don't let the religion of people around him stop him from going after God. He's going after God. He wants what God got. And so he's going to do that. He's going after God. And it's amazing because of the revelation. Really, we don't have much revelation of Scripture comes from the life we have from Isaac. Not much of anything. We don't. But anyhow, Isaac thinks he's going to die. But now listen to this. For 20 years, Jacob goes in and goes down to his Abraham's land, and goes down and lives where Abraham started off with. And he hooks up there with Laban, a relative. He's down there for 20 years. And he comes back, his dad's still alive. His dad hadn't died. And he lived almost 10 years in the land before his dad died. So his dad lived 30 years blind. He's a guy under a covenant with God and is blind for 30 years. And I believe, well, you know, the curse don't come without a cause. And Well, but Jacob proved, one of the things I like about Jacob, and you need to understand this and for yourselves, is when somebody just hands you something and they hand you a lot of things, just give it to you, it is nice to have it, but this is one thing. If you lose it, you can probably never get it back again because you don't know how it was gotten. You never learned how it was gotten. Jacob learned by the covenant. And it was amazing how God responded to this man. Because God liked him big time. God was in it with him big time. Now, Isaac had the same covenant, but we don't see God manifesting himself like he did with Jacob. Ah, he manifests himself with Jacob? Well, there's a reason. Jacob pleased God. Jacob believed that if he got the birthright, man, he was going somewhere. He believed it. He had faith in the birthright. He had faith in it. He believed that that birthright bought with it God's anointing. See, he was living by what you couldn't see. He, like it was real. He didn't wait for something to show up. He lived like it was real. And this is what we want to look at. Now, we had used the scriptures in Genesis 48. And this is at the end of Jacob's life is what Jacob makes this statement. Jacob is passing on anointing. In other words, he is prophesying to his offspring about what God's going to do in the future. And here he's prophesying to his son Joseph. And he says in verse 15, he says, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, he said, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. He said, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. He said, bless the lads. He said, let my name be named among them. And I'm not going to read the rest of it. But what I want you to see, he says, the angel who redeemed me from all evil. He talked about this an angel who redeemed him from all evil. And we want to go back and look that he makes this statement at the end of his life because he had numbers of encounters with angels. And this is important for us because remember this. When we read the Old Testament, we're reading these things. This is not the law. See, so many people put out, well, this is about the law back there, and this is about them and Israel. No, it's not. This is about the same kind of covenant we have. Abraham had a covenant of promise. That's our covenant. Our covenant is a covenant of promise. It's not a covenant of law. It's promise. They lived on the basis of promise. That's like our covenant. And so, under that covenant, God gave revelation, and the scriptures tell us in the New Testament that concerning the Old Testament, it says concerning the things of Israel, that the things that happen to them are for our learning. So, in other words, these things are written for us to learn. And so when we look back, we can look back here concerning angels. We can learn some things. There's things that we need to see about angels, what they do. If they're to minister for us, it would be good to find out what that they do for us. What is it they do? I mean, or do they change tires on the car? Or they what? I mean, you know, what are they doing out here? People need to think. Because, you know, most people talk about angels. They talk about seeing an angel. I'm really not as interested in seeing an angel. I'm more interested in what they do, not seeing one. I don't think what the big deal of seeing one, unless I see something he does, it would give me. See, most of the things that God does, and this is what people miss it. I've watched this over the years, where people have something manifest. God does something. And people make a big deal out of what they saw and never talk about what the revelation is that God brought. And you guys have heard me say this. Kenneth Hagin had numbers of experiences where Jesus appeared to him and talked to him. And yet he never talks about concerning Jesus and what Jesus looks like or things look like. He always talks about the revelation that Jesus was bringing. What does he do? It see, God doesn't do things just to be spectacular, to show you something. That's not what it is. It's to reveal something to you. God is the author of faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. And he's going to show you things in line with the Word to reveal them to you so you can walk by faith in it. It's of no value just seeing a spectacular event. Unless that event does something that gives you something better to live by, what is the purpose of it? It has to have a purpose. And God always does things with a purpose. And so we're going to look at these because God put these things in the Bible. He put these events specifically in the Bible and then tells us that we're supposed to learn from the things that happened to them. And God put these events end up written into our Bible. So these are important events that we're going to be, these are important events we're looking at. Now we find out to this in Genesis 28, we back up to Genesis 28. After, and we're, what we're looking at right here, this is when Jacob has gotten the birthright. And it is funny because, you know, after Jacob got the birthright, his father Isaac didn't say, "Oh man, I got the wrong guy. I shouldn't have done that." He knows this. The anointing was passed on, and the anointing couldn't have been passed on unless God was in it. It couldn't have been. Can't happen. It's not going to happen. That's why it's today, and it's sad to say, and it isn't just being critical, but it's sad. Most of the things, and most ministers don't even understand about the anointing and the working of the anointing. Just because of the things I hear them teach out of the Bible, they think that just, you know, it's like Jacob just, well, that this went to him just because he laid his hand on him. Well, God is going to cause something to take place that he's not in. He ain't going to get in the middle of it. As God was in it. And so we want to look at this because Jacob now, his brother wants to kill him, real nice guy. And so Jacob is going to be, he's turned around leaving his dad and mom. They're going to send him down to Laban's place. Says, "You got to get away, and anyhow you go and get a wife." It's because we have his brother, Esau, had married from the heathens in the land who worshipped other gods. And this is one thing God didn't. God didn't want them mixed. It wasn't because of race. It was because gods that were served. They served other gods. You don't marry among them. And people need to understand that the same way today. It's because with people, you know, the marriage in the wrong person, in the same matter today. Make your life good or make your life, you know, the worst hell you've ever been around. And people do that, those kinds of things all the time. And you need to understand the destiny of your life can be changed by those things. Doesn't matter what God wants, you know. It's a good thing to find out what he has in mind. And so, but anyhow, so he says to Jacob, they tell Jacob, you know, to go down to his brother because his brother wanted to kill him. Get down there and stay a while. So Jacob leaves, and in chapter 28, verse 10 says, "Now that Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, said, so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it on his, put it at his head, and he laid down in that place to sleep." It says, "Then he dreamed, and it says, behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And it said, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." Now let's just say about this scripture. Now they use the term ladder there, but you look it up. I mean, the original thing is really a staircase. It is a staircase was set up. I don't think God would have actually shown a ladder. That wouldn't have made much of sense. I would, but they, you know, it was they translated that. That's decided to. But anyhow, one of the things he gives this revelation that God shows him. Now this is an important thing. God don't show things just to show things. He is showing him something about angels, and we need to understand that angels are all the time. There's angels going from earth to heaven and back. And what for? We want to talk about these things because God uses angels. Many things that God does, and people say God did this or God did that, he did it by an angel. An angel carried it out. Angels did things. Like I said, we could go back, there's things in scriptures where healing took place by angels. So we see these kinds of things going on, these things happening, so God can do things. You know, I used the example last week. It's like with Kenneth Hagin. He has a vision, and Jesus stands for it in front of him and talking. And here's his angel standing there, and he says, what does he want? He said, he's here to give you a message. And he said, well, why don't you tell me? He said, because God sent him to tell you. He's the one who's supposed to tell you, not me. See, and some people say, well, why did God do it that way? Well, you can sit around and question all your life or go along with God. What you want to do? See, most people, they'll sit and question, and God will give the point he won't even want to talk to them anymore because they're stupid, you know? What do you care why God wanted to do it? God sent him a message. To me, it's like, well, what does God want to say? No, most people are just, they're more interested in everything else under the sun. It's like, If God has decided to do it, God's wisdom, he's doing things and he has ways that he follows. There's purpose in it. There's a lot from this side we don't understand. The Apostle Paul said we look through a glass darkly. There's a lot from this side you're never going to know. And there's a lot when you get to heaven. It's going to be eons of times before many things you're ever going to learn. And some people ain't going to learn as quick as others will, even when they get to heaven. I can prove it scripturally. This whole idea we're going to go to heaven one day and everybody's just going to be the same and that's it. I'm sorry, there's no socialism in heaven. It ain't there. You didn't do nothing here. You don't get it all over there. It's that simple. That's the kingdom. You reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. People get these weird ideas. Why? Because that's the people just tell you, oh, yeah, yeah, heaven's this place, and we all go there, and everybody's the same. And we're all, oh, no, it ain't. Ain't what the Scripture tells us. It's not what it tells us. But this is what people believe. But we find that angels are going back and forth. So he has a revelation. God gives him, now isn't it interesting? God gives him a revelation about angels. Gave him a revelation. You'd think, well, the first revelation God would give would be something else, wouldn't it? But God's giving is one thing. It's because in the earth, and we're going to find out, because he finds the whole thing out, is when he comes to the end of his life, he realizes the success of his life is the angels God has had. An intervention with him is why he's been successful, why it's been working. This is how he's got to where he's at. It's by these angels. Angels have been working. And see, it's one of the things, he's a man walking around with the idea that there are angels. There's angels. In other words, God has beings that are in this earth. And it's just like with us, angels. And it's one of the things that if people need to understand, is especially dealing with the covenant. If a person is not in the covenant, they're angels. The angels ain't going to work. Angels, it's a whole different thing than being a covenant person. We don't find and read in Scripture where the non-covenant people had a bunch of angels working for them. They didn't. It's about the covenant people. And see, people need to understand this. Now, people who aren't in the covenant, there's angels working for them, but they ain't God's. One's bringing influence, and people need to understand that. But here he gets a revelation that angels are going back and forth between the earth. So in other words, there's things going on here in the background. There's things happening. And then God speaks to him, and God said to him in verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land of which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in it, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." Now he said, I'm with you and I'll keep you. What's he showing? How's he going to be with him and keep him? He's showing these angels, see? There's angels. There's angels. God is with you. See, we have the idea of, well, God just being with us as God and present. We have the Holy Spirit in us, but that ain't the only thing going on. We have angels around us that carry things out. The Holy Spirit doesn't do everything. Jesus told us what the job of the Holy Spirit was. There's jobs angels got. See, everything, you know, you don't go into a place, you know, to a place of business, and everybody does exactly the same job. Everybody just does the same job. That's everybody. Nothing else gets done. Only that one job gets done. Well, there's more things going on. Angels are doing things, and he's telling this here. In fact, this words that he spoke here to him are the exact words that he spoke to Abraham in the beginning. In other words, this is the transfer of the covenant. If this guy's a bad guy, then God took a bad guy and gave him the covenant. Poor dumb God. He's not very bright. He gave him the covenant. So, but we see here, so God is giving a revelation about angels. Now, we want to look at something here because we're going to go jump forward a little bit. Jacob went down to live with Laban, and down there, Laban really took him across. But we have, it's really interesting because God made Jacob rich down there, and because Laban cheated Jacob, God took a lot from him. Now we want to see, this is one of the things that we want to look at. Now, if you go back and read the story, you can go read, you know, from the 28th chapter up to the 32nd chapter. You read up to, you find all the things that Laban did to him. Laban did. But the more Laban tried to cheat him, the more God blessed Jacob. In fact, Jacob, when he went to work for Laban, he changed the wages. The first time he was working for the one daughter he wanted to marry, but anyhow, he ended up spending 20 years there. In that 20-year time, every time he started prospering, things worked for him, Laban would turn around and change the deal. And he did it 10 times. He did it 10 times. And Jacob one day got up and said, "That's it," and he packed everything up and took off and left without telling Laban, because he knew Laban was a crook and Laban was going to try to keep everything, and Laban wanted to, and Laban chased after him. But God came to Laban in a dream and scared Laban and told him, "When you meet up with Jacob, don't you say anything good or bad. You don't say nothing." And when he got there, Laban was scared. Laban didn't say anything because he knew God showed up on the scene. And and Jacob goes through the whole story with Laban about what Laban did to him. But one of the things that we want to see is, because here we have an incident that took place in the 32nd chapter. We have the first, I'm just going to read the first two verses out of this. It says, "So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God," it says, look at this, "met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's camp.' And he called the name of the place," pronounced Mechahanim in Hebrew. And what it means is a dual camp. And this is interesting because he said he met up with his angels. And actually what happened is there was two camps. He went there and camped. He stopped and camped. And he saw another camp. There was a camp of angels. There was a camp of angels, and he saw all these angels. In other words, angels were traveling along with him. Angels were. And there was a camp of angels, and really that's what that word means there that he named that is called a double camp. So there was actually two camps. Now, we have in Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around all around those who fear him and delivers them." See, the angel of the Lord camps around him. You know, it's somewhere like, you know, we're here tonight, and we talk about our angels, but you know, there's angels encamped around us. Now, we don't see them, but the Bible says there is, so there must be. Anybody say anything you want? They say, "I'm crazy for believing what I do." Well, get a life. I believe it anyway. You ain't going to talk me out of it. I believe the Bible says. And they're camped around. See, everybody, this is one of the things that is why Christians have such a tough time in life. Because when problems come along, Christians act like they're alone. And all they can see is their problem. Because they never build faith in the unseen realm. They don't build faith in the unseen realm as, you know what, I'm being protected. I'm being looked after. I don't have to ask God to protect me. Dear God, He has sent angels. But see, we have to get ourselves over to see something or somebody else do something so we can feel comforted. And we don't have faith of what God has. God gave him this revelation of the fact he was camped there. Now Laban's coming after him. Well, what did God? God gave him a revelation. There's an unseen army that is looking after you. Don't you worry about Laban. Quit worrying about stuff. God is looking after us. And see, this is what living by faith is about. Living by faith isn't walking around seeing everything, you know, whatever you see, and that this is what's true. Everything you see in this life is temporal. All of it. Every bit of the Bible tells it's temporal. We live in a temporal world. The eternal world is the spirit world, is the world that we cannot see, but it still exists. It exists, whether we, you know, the Bible tells us about it. And so we have a revelation. God's giving us a revelation, and we also have that revelation revealed there in the Psalms. Also in Psalm 91, in verses 11 and 12 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Now see, people take that because the devil said that to Jesus. But is that not true for all humanity? Jesus was operating as a human in the earth. Is that true for us? Or did Jesus the only one? He had the angels. Him and Jacob and the rest of us, we don't get nothing. You know. But that scripture is true. If that scripture is only for Jesus, then all of Psalms 91 is for Jesus and it ain't for us. No, it's for us. You see, God is in the protection business of His people. He's in the protection business. That's what He's looking after us. So there is more than just, thank God, each of us may have what they people call a guardian angel, but there are many more angels that are looking after us. But we need to respond by faith or they don't do anything. The kingdom of God requires people to act in faith for things to change. They must. You can't get the kingdom of God to respond to you if you don't act in faith. You can't get it to respond to you. Faith is what causes it to respond to you. That's the way it works. You know, I've talked to you guys about the fact before I was born again, I was involved in sorcery. Satan's kingdom, the spirit realm is exactly the same over there. It doesn't change at all. It's exactly the same as I've learned when I got born again and came over into the kingdom of God. I saw the same thing. There's Christians who get God to move forward and there's ones who don't get nothing. And it's on the same principle. They don't act in, some act in faith and some don't. Well, it was the same way over dealing with the devil's kingdom. You know, some of us, like I learned how to cause demons to manifest. I could get demons to manifest. Well, I learned how to do it because you act in faith like they're real, like they're there. But see, these people that we had them just like that in news groups, you know, they only believe what they see. And they couldn't get nothing. You could go through all, they could go through all their chants and all that kind of stuff. It didn't mean nothing. I didn't have to go through chants to get demons to manifest. I knew what to do. All you do is act in faith toward them like they're real, and it'd manifest. And let me just say this to you. Grandma and Grandpa ain't walking around as ghosts nowhere. They ain't. They don't show up nowhere as ghosts. The Bible tells what they are. They're familiar spirits. They can manifest in the likeness of a person, but they ain't the person, I will guarantee you. Anybody, any human that dies in this earth leaves this earth. They are not on this earth, and if they're dead, they ain't on this earth anymore. They left. Now, you can watch all them crazy shows on TVs where they talk about, oh, you know, Cousin Harry's still down there in the jail somewhere. And he's still haunted. He's still there. No, he ain't. He wouldn't get born again. He's in hell and some demons taking his place in there and making some knucklehead believe. Now, I want you to tell you something. These people, don't you ever get in around this stuff messing around with demons. Because I will tell you this. You would end up possessed and you end up going to hell. They'll take you there. I know from dealing with these things. This stuff they play around with, and these people go into places and mess with demons and talk to demons. Do you know most people do that, don't live out a long life? They don't live long lives. Did you know that? Most of them don't. You don't mess with this stuff. The devil's a killer. He's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and you don't get over there and mess with demons. They're to be cast out. And that's it. They aren't to be played with and talked to and everything else. And see, people get over into those areas and people end up, don't realize it, end up possessed. I'll give you a good scare. There's plenty of people end up with a huge amount of demon problems going to hospitals. Because somebody in the hospital, people in that hospital, people die in that place. And people that die in that place, some of them have spirits, demon spirits. And they come out and they're looking for somebody to get into. And if you're flaky, you could end up with one. People do. So yeah, trying to scare us. Something ought to scare people. People live like there's nothing going on around them. There's spiritual forces operating, and we live in one of the most ignorant countries in the world because we don't believe in this stuff. I'm going to tell you what, America has more demons in operation than India does anymore. Because education over here ignores it all. We get people locked up in places, and I'm going to tell you, they got more demon problems in a little bit. We got people sitting in high places with demonic powers controlling them. And people don't even know about it. Because they're looking around, what? They don't have horns. They look like they're smiling and they're nice. The Antichrist is going to be a sweetie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
People are going to love him. Oh, yeah. They're going to love him. He's going to be a sweetie. Until they see what he really is, and it's too late. See, we need to get over and get a little bit smarts about these things around here. There's too much church world. We just let things go by. We're dealing with a nation that's full of demonic problems. That's why we have all this junk going on, all this fussing and fighting out here. This isn't just people. These are people influenced by demonic powers. People yielded to spirits and doing things. And the more they yield to them, the more that spirit controls them and dominates them. And after a while, people end up possessed. Today, if they're possessed, they might vote you in office. You know, you get good enough. Well, that we just thought to throw that in there. This stuff's free. But you better know, we're dealing with angels. And this is one of the things. You want to walk and walk by faith. God plans on protecting His people. But there's things we shouldn't be messing with. There's things we shouldn't be playing around with. I have no fear of demons. I'm not afraid of them at all. I've dealt with demons already, cast demons out. I know from the time I was a baby Christian, when I got born again, the demons that I've been messing with all the time, they still wanted to live where I was at. And I had to deal with them. You know, God didn't just make them leave. I had to make them leave. And he told me, you got to go home and throw the devil out of your house. And I said, that's easy for you to say. How do you do that? And he gave me a quick course one day working at, I was working at HP Reese Cabinet Company. This is what he told me. I'm working one day. And he says to me, he said, you got to go home and throw the devil out of your house. I said, what on earth? Me home throw the devil out of my house, dear God. You know, because these spirits were carrying on, these ones that, you know, the devil's really nice to you. You start heading toward God, devil don't like you. You're going to find out. Most people, you'll see this. People that start moving toward God will have all kind of stuff start happening in their life and trouble. The devil's trying to keep people from going. He don't want you moving that direction. He'll do all kind of stuff. Well, he did all kind of stuff with us. And he said I had to go home and throw him out. And I said, well, that's good. How do I do that? I mean, I was just a young Christian. I just got born again. I said, well, that's easy to say. How do I do it? And he brought some scriptures to my mind, and I went down at lunchtime and sat down in my locker room and sat down there and got a Bible out and sat there and looked and said, is this stuff really in the Bible here? It was in the Bible. And I went home and ran the devil out of the house, and everything changed. Everything changed. Now, I'm sure God was helping me out a whole lot because, you know, I didn't know what I know now. And so he had to help me out a lot here with that. But he made me deal with it. I had to deal with it. And which I've always been glad that he did, because I'd have never learned. If God would just... so many times people want God just to take care of things. But if he just takes care of it without us, we don't learn a thing. So the problems come back. You can't ever deal... You don't know how to deal with it. You're in the same position you were the last time. If somebody else don't take care of it, you can't. So this is why you want to learn. You want to learn about things. Well, it's one of the things is dealing with the areas of... If I go over the times that I think, you know, when I look back over the things that happened to me in my life were angels. Angels. I knew angels were involved with it. I had one time I was working on a table saw. And my hand actually hit the blade. Well, usually, you know, something like that with a quick cut, you can lose fingers. You don't even realize it at first. I mean, it's so fast it hit. And my hand hit the blade hard enough that it kicked my hand back. And I didn't even look at my hand at first. And I looked at my hand, and I did not have a scratch on it. Well, I did a little jig and a dance there and praising God. That was definitely God. That I wasn't lucky. That couldn't have been. You don't get lucky on those days. You just have fingers laying there on the top of the saw. That's what you get out of that one. I've been around that enough to know. I've seen others. I worked, you know, at times as a carpenter, and I've seen enough guys with fingers gone. I'm going to tell you what, I was like, wow. But, you know, just over time and that stuff, God taking care of you and looking after you and things is one thing, is recognizing that. Recognizing it, a lot of times people don't. You know, things happen. Like, well, man, I was just really lucky, and I was just really this, that. They don't recognize around them. We're Christians. We have a covenant with God, just like with Jacob. Jacob had a covenant, and God established that covenant. He was using angels to protect him and take care of him. And he ends, just think about it. He ends his life at the end of his life. He says, "Hey, I'm going to make it to where I am. But God's angels have been helping me the whole time to get here, to get where I am." Because Jacob's in a tough spot here. Jacob is leaving Laban, but now he's going to have to go. He's on his way to face his brother. He had ran off from his brother. His brother wanted to kill him. He's coming back to the land to face his brother. But it's a whole lot easier to face his brother when he's coming back, when you find out you have an army of angels with you. Now, in his number, he's going to have to believe that concerning those angels. But we have also, I want to show you something, because we don't have just here with Jacob. The double camp, I want you to look at this, and we'll end with this one tonight. We'll go on to some others with Jacob and them here. But I want you to see this in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, because we want to look at Elisha. The prophet Elisha is telling the king of Israel what's been happening. The Assyrian king would send down into Israel troops and try to do ambushes on Israel's army. And so God would show Elisha what they were doing, and he would tell the king, don't send your men here, or don't send them there, because the Syrian king... Well, Syrian king finally figured this out. How come, you know, this is going on? And the king gets his guys aside and says, listen, what's going on here that this guy knows everything we're doing? We must have a traitor among us here. Who's telling them what we're doing? And a couple of the guys tell the king, they said, no, nobody's telling. He said, it's Elisha the prophet. He said, he knows everything you're doing. He knows what you speak in your bedroom when you're alone. And so the king, you know, he's a smart boy. We're going to get this guy. We're going to get him. So they go after him. They're going to go after him. And this is what this story's about. They're going to go get Elisha. Now, so they're heading there. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 15. Now, this is talking, here it says... this is Elisha's servant. He gets up in the morning and walks out. It says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall I do? So now look what it says there. It says that he surrounded him with an army. It said surrounding the city. So we're not talking about a few guys here. He surrounded the city that they were in. And the whole thing was, he's after Elisha. This guy, they want to get rid of him. And so Elisha's servant said to him, well, what do you want to do about this? And he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, it says this. Now listen, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now understand, Elisha's not seeing this. Elisha knows. He just knows. Elisha believes in the realm of the Spirit. He believes God looking after him. And he said, open the servant's eyes so he can actually see this. So he can see what's going on around here. Open his eyes. That's what he prays for. He says, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Now listen to this. All around Elisha. When he looked into the spirit, he didn't see the city. He saw all the horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. I always like the pictures painted. They always have the city and all around. That's not what the Bible says. It says it saw them around Elisha. It don't say he saw them around the city. See, he saw into the realm of the Spirit. In the realm of the Spirit, there wasn't a physical city there in the realm of the Spirit. In the Spirit, he saw Elisha and all these chariots protecting him. That's what he saw. Well, see, Elisha's in faith. God's protecting him. See, Elisha believes that they're there. Elisha said, look, there's more with me than with those guys. Isn't it because he saw it? He's walking by faith. He said, Lord, you got to show this boy. Show it to him. And that's today. You got to say, God, show it to them. They ain't going to believe anything till they see it. Good preaching, folks. The Bible says it. But see, they're there all the time. Let's just think about it. They're there all the time. That was there all the time. They didn't just come there. They're there all the time. It's there. It's like I told the stories. A guy said to me concerning the South Mountain over there from Lebanon, where the guy said about to the Lord, God opened his eyes and he saw all these angels in the South Mountain. He said, it was just filled with angels. And he said, Lord, what are all those angels doing over there? And the Lord said to him, nothing. He said, the church ain't doing nothing, so they ain't got nothing to do. But see, there's all of them here. But to see somebody operates in faith, there's nothing for them to do. See, lots of things happen to people that would never happen to people if they walk by faith. See, most people never even think about God helping them in something until they figure they're doing something. What about every day? See, we should live every day like God's around us protecting us. Most people will pray like God ain't around and we're trying to get him here. That is such an unbelief prayer. I just thank God his angels are looking. I thank the Lord the angels look after me. They're taking care of me. Hallelujah. There's plenty of them to do it because nobody else is using them. I'll take them all. We'll take them all. Might as well. Let them pile on. But see, that's what living by faith is. Living by faith isn't this prayer life where you're trying to get God to do something. God's already decided to do something. He's already decided to protect us. It's already what he wants. God wants to bless humanity more than humanity wants blessed. And God has provided this thing, and this is the way his operation, his kingdom. He's waiting for people to believe in it. So, you know, they saw the whole, he tells him to see it. So really, we're dealing with this thing of this camp, this double camp. So here again, we see the double camp. We see the same thing. The angels are encamped around about him to protect him. And so these things are put in scriptures for us to believe. We shouldn't need, why should I have to see it to believe it? It's already told us it's there. It's there. You know, and people believe, and you know, people say, oh, well, you got to believe to see. Well, that's not true. My words, I remember back when Three Mile Island happened. We lived in Lebanon, Three Mile Island. All these people moving out of the area. Everybody's leaving and moving, heading out. People are going all over the place because radiation. Did anybody ever see any radiation? Not one person. Not one person ever saw the radiation. But they all ran because somebody said there's radiation. A man said there was radiation. It's right. God said there's angels around them. That's the biggest lie that ever happened. I'd have to see it to believe that. I don't believe nothing unless I see it. Oh, yeah. you let them put on a news report or something and people will just jump onto it. They'll just believe CNN. I mean, you know they're insane. They believe CNN. They ain't got a right mind. Well, they'll go ahead and believe that. But no, I can't believe God. You know, no, we got to see it. See, I found out a long time ago how this thing works. This thing works by faith. I see it in the Bible. God put it there. He put it there for a purpose. If I'm supposed to learn for it. If that those things aren't for me, then there's nothing for me to learn from it. There's nothing. What am I going to learn? You know, I ain't got time to sit around and read fairy tales. I'm not a fantasy reader. You know, what'll change your life ain't fantasy. What'll change your life is what's real. What'll work in this realm. What'll help you in this realm. And man in this realm needs help from the spirit realm. If the spirit realm is either going to destroy us or it'll bless us, whichever one we yield to. We yield to the devil's kingdom, he'll destroy us. He's been doing a good job of it. Our nation has been yielding to that realm as much as they can. They've been ignoring God as much as they can. And every time something bad happens, then all of a sudden, well, I want God. I want to live like hell, but give me God to protect me. See, we need to get over and get in belief of the Word. And the Word's true. And so, here in this instant, we can see that concerning these this camp thing from a scriptural standpoint. You know, the Bible says that by two or three witnesses let every word be established. We can find that this is actually around it. I mean, get it in within yourself where these things, not just because I say it tonight, sit down and read them and decide for yourself, is this really true or not? You're going to have to decide that. It don't matter how much I say it and how much I believe it. Don't matter. That ain't going to change your life. What's going to change your life is you believe it. You look at it and say, is this true or not? Is the Bible true or not? You're going to have to decide that. You're going to decide what you're going to believe. You decide that. There's one thing, as I found out, believing in the Bible works. I know what it's done in my life. And it works. And it'll change your life. I know both sides of it. I've seen the people from Satan's side because I used to play there. And I know this side. And I know one thing about Satan's side. People don't live long messing over there. It's one thing, as I learned, a lot of guys in that stuff messing around over there died young. You mess around with the devil, he'll kill you. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. I come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. You decide what you want. See, many people say, I want the abundant life living with the devil. Ain't having it. Won't come. It don't come. And you have to make that decision and say, hey, and it's true. God, I mean, just think about this. God, if God would do this for them in a covenant, understand, these guys aren't even born again. These guys are not children. We're born again. If he would work in this manner for them, what would he do for us? We're born again children of God. I mean, what would he do for us? My words. And so I expect God to do supernatural things. I expect it. I expect him to do things and looking after me. I expect that. He did those things. I mean, we get guy Jacob. Jacob's big thing. Jacob believed in the covenant that God had made with him. He believed in the covenant that he had. And God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. And in the same way, what would God do different with us? You know, so many people look back at these things and they talk about these stories. They tell about God. The Bible says God changes not. The reason we don't see the miracles or the things today, we have no faith for them. We think they're fantasies of the past. Some God somewhere. And sad to say that most preachers even preach that. You know, well, that's the old covenant back there. God did that for them, but he don't do that today. You know, he's sleeping. Don't wake him up. He might get mad at us. You know, leave him sleep. But you know, they don't. They have these beliefs. And they didn't get it from the Bible. They got it from religious tradition. And we all fight that. You're going to fight the religious tradition. You're going to have to get it out of you. You got to read the Bible till you find out what's true in the Bible and throw the religious traditions out. And everybody's got them. We all have Bible that was told us and how people think that they operate. I found this out about it. You get people that's hardly even ever went to a church in their life, and somehow they've got a bunch of religious beliefs. They got a bunch of religious beliefs. And it takes time to sit down and work to get those things out of you, to sit down and read the Bible for yourself. And, you know, you're going to find other people are not necessarily going to like it. People like you to go, you know, don't go against the crowd, but you're just going to find out. If you read the Bible for yourself, you're going to find out you're going to be going against the crowd. I found that out years ago. You read the Bible for yourself and actually find out what it says. And especially you start asking them questions. And when they said the Bible says this, and when you try to get them over and you show them what the Bible says, I've had people just get downright mad at me because I showed them what the Bible said. Well, that ain't the way we believe it. I said, well, that's what the Bible says. And you said this. And they'll get mad at you. They don't want to hear that. Because, excuse me, I have my own Bible. The one that I believe. I'm just like, if I find out that I've been wrong, well, then we just change it. I've been wrong, we're just going to go, we're going to throw that one out and take the one that the Bible says. Because that's where the success is. That's where the success lies. Is this book truly does make men free. Amen. Mankind can be free in this book. This is a book where a man can live and walk in the areas of the supernatural. No one will ever convince me. If I run to a person who really has no interest in the supernatural, they're already dead. It is within the human nature to desire the supernatural. Desire something outside of what this realm can produce. If all you want is what this realm can produce, you're already dead. Because you're just going to flow with what this dead realm's doing. This realm is on its way out. It's a dead realm. Success in this realm requires intervention by God. And what brings God into intervention is when people operate in faith, God can step into this realm. And we can have what the Bible calls days of heaven in the earth. They can't come, and it will not come any other way. It won't come. If we walk the wrong way, we're going to have days of hell in the earth. We choose the days we want to have. I tell you what, I want God's intervention. We need God's intervention in the earth. We need to get our angels working. We need to get our angels doing things. We need angels influencing people. They're sent to minister for us. We should be praying and sending angels to influence people. We don't. We pray, God, do this, God, do that. You said those angels are sent to minister for you. Quit asking God to do your job. Send your angels to go influence people. See, we believe the devil can influence people. Don't you think God all the more? We need to pray. Speak to angels. Angels, go ministering spirits. Go bring influence in our government. See, if the church would start to do those things, but the church is sitting, we're asking God to do it. God gives us patterns in the Bible, but the church doesn't know the patterns. Church just goes on doing its old religious junk. And don't stop and say, hey, what's the Bible say about this? What's God doing? The church just keeps going its old, same old path. You know, we'll just yell and yell at God to do something. And He put all these angels here to minister for us. We need to put them to work. Give them something to do. They would be so excited. They would be so glad to intervene for humanity. They would be excited to do it. We know this just from a scriptural standpoint. There's two-thirds more angels than there are demons, the Bible tells us. Why do we have the one-third has the most intervention in the earth, the demons? It's because the church has allowed it. Christians have allowed the devil to rule and reign. People don't like to hear that, but it ain't going to ever change till we hear that. Till we stop and say, hey, hold it. We're on the big team. We're on the big boys team. We ain't on the devil's team. Our army is bigger than his army. He can surround all he wants. We'll match him. We'll double it every time, whatever he does. So it don't matter. We don't have to run and hide. Hallelujah. He does. But see, we got to go. We have to operate by faith. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you for wisdom and understanding concerning things in the Scripture. Father, bring in light to us. Lord, you do have to forgive us. Lord, much of the church world, we walked in ignorance. Lord God, the men have looked at, well, you, what you're doing, and you weren't doing it at all. Men were doing it. Men were causing problems, and Father God, Father, we ask you to teach us and give us instructions. Lord God, show us so we can respond to you, Lord God, by faith. Lord God, in these areas concerning angels, these ministering spirits that minister for us, teach us, Lord God. So, Lord God, that we walk by faith and not by our sight. Hallelujah. And Lord God, that we take our place and our authority that's been given to you, given to us by you. Father God, and send forth ministering spirits. And Lord God, letting these angels fulfill the things that you have desired them to do in this earth for humanity. Lord God, to bring blessing. Lord God, our nation needs blessing. We're in huge trouble. We're in enormous trouble in our land. And Lord God, if things don't change, oh, Lord God, if some people think the way that they're thinking it would turn out better, Lord God, they don't realize destruction is at the door. But Lord God, I want to thank you. We're looking to you. You're the one that can turn things around. And we thank you, Lord God. Give us the wisdom and understanding because we desire to cooperate with your plan and your will and not our will. And Lord God, we want to thank you. Father God, we'll refuse to be afraid. We're not going to worry. Hallelujah. Because you're going to well take care of us. Hallelujah. You've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we're going to have victory at every hand. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.